You? Respect authority. We're going to be looking at some words of the Apostle Peter this morning. And I want to remind you, from time to time, I think it's good to be reminded that when we read the New Testament, the letters specifically, they're written by an individual. And that individual, understanding who that individual is, helps us understand, and what's going on in his life, helps us understand why the letter was written, as well as understand those letters were written to particular individuals at a particular time. They weren't written directly to us, right, necessarily. However, obviously, we can utilize them and do utilize them in seeking to honor the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. But I want to ask you this morning, do you know the Apostle Peter? Do you know who the Apostle Peter is? I can say I feel like as time has went on, I've been involved in ministry for many years, I'm beginning to think I understand Peter a little bit. There's still so much to learn and to understand, just reading in his actions and what he says and what he does. But the Apostle Peter was one of what we would consider some of the very important followers of Jesus. Jesus selected him as one of the 12, and even further than that, he selected him as one of the close three that we see in the Gospels being represented as spending most of the intimate time with Jesus. Peter, along with James and John, were given many opportunities to spend time close with Jesus. And I can say, Peter, as pertaining to his faith, wouldn't you say, if you know him, if you've read about him, he has seen it all. Peter saw, he saw miracles. He saw the water being turned into wine. He saw the blind seeing. He saw the lame walking. He saw the winds being calmed. He even saw Jesus raise individuals from the dead. Peter has seen it all. I want to go even further. As we're studying Acts on Wednesday night, we realize, we see that Peter actually was involved in some of those miracles himself, even after Jesus Christ had ascended and went back to be with the Father. Peter went through many emotions throughout his life. He saw Jesus die on the cross, but praise God, he also saw and met and had conversations with the resurrected Jesus. He was impulsive in his actions. He was quite quick to just respond sometimes before he did much thinking. He loved the Lord. He loved the church. But yet he also wrestled with doubts. He's known in the Bible by at least three, you might say four, different names. So sometimes it might be confusing. You've got to be careful when you see these names. They could be all the same person. First of all, his birth name was Simon. And in the Greek, it's Simon. And then we see in one of the New Testament letters, he's actually referred to as Simeon, possibly the Hebrew rendering of his birth name. But then Jesus renames him the Rock. It's sturdiness about him, about his faith, and about how he's going to be involved in leading the church. And the Rock in Greek is Peter. In Aramaic, it's Cephas. So you might see any of those different names, and they could be meaning the same guy, this same Peter that we're going to read part of the letter that he wrote this morning. It's important also to note he wrote this letter during a time of heavy persecution. Now, we don't know the exact time. The letters that we have in the Bible don't have dates written at the bottom that say this is when it was written. But we're going to say it's believed, historians who study a lot more than I have, think somewhere maybe between 65 to 67 A.D. this letter was written, some 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was a time of heavy persecution. Christians were being scattered. Christians were being killed for their faith. The Bible doesn't tell us. Historians even tell us that Peter himself was martyred for his faith. A martyr is someone who... Now, a martyr generally just means witness. But from the Christian perspective, when we use the term martyr, it's talking about someone who chooses death over the renouncing of their religious principles. Or someone who simply just dies for their faith even before they get a chance to deny. And we're told, historians tell us, again, it's not in the Bible, so it's not something that I can stand up here and firmly say that I know is true, but it's historians suggest that Peter was crucified as well. And he was, and the Bible gives some references in John's Gospel that he was going to die in a similar manner. But he was actually even asked to be, historians tell us that he was asked to be hung upside down because he didn't believe he was worthy of dying in the same way that his Lord had died. As a kid, and some of you are still kids, and maybe you might still feel yourself, regardless how old you are a kid, but do you remember, I remember quite often as a child, sometimes visiting somebody else's house. Do you remember doing that? Sometimes staying overnight, or maybe just dropping by, or maybe just being in their house for a moment as you get ready to go on a trip with somebody else. You ever notice that while you're in that house, you're not really sure what's going on? You don't know what the rules are. You don't know, can I get in the refrigerator? Or should I not get in the refrigerator? What room is where? There's certain things that are in that house should often make you a little uncomfortable. Now, I know if you had friends as you were growing up for years, you may have gotten some sense of comfort. But generally, it was different than your own house. It wasn't your own house, and you know it. And I would imagine your parents probably told you, now, when you get over there, you mind yourself. You remember who you are. I can't speak for you all, but I hope that you had a loving and a caring and a compassionate home like I did. I hope you had a place where you had a roof over your head and food in your belly and a loving, caring parent who treated you nicely and fairly. I hope. I know that's not true of everybody, but I hope you did. But I want you to think of it from that perspective, that you had a caring, loving, compassionate home where you were fed and clothed and watched over and treated fairly. When you went over to your friend's house, it wasn't always the same. Sometimes, again, you had to be careful as to how you responded. Peter wanted the Christians to know, this is not your home. You are not currently living in the home, ultimately, that those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will receive. Peter wrote to Christians who needed to be reminded that they were not quite home. They weren't happy with how they were being treated. They didn't like being persecuted. Who would like being persecuted? Although I know sometimes the New Testament writer suggests it's a glorious and a wonderful thing, but I don't know about you, but I don't want someone to mistreat me for my faith. I would rather someone be encouraged by it. But these were individuals that needed this encouragement. And in this letter, he reminds them in chapter 1, verse 4, that they had an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. This is not your place. This is not your home. This is not ultimately where you're going to live eternity, and understand that and realize that and consider that concerning the way you're living your life today. There's much in this letter, these five chapters, but I just want to focus on seven verses out of chapter 2 that I think are very important and pertinent to us today. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, another way of just saying foreigners, you're not living at home yet. I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles. Gentiles, again, is a reference of the outsiders, those who aren't part of your family, those who aren't necessarily, as of yet, going to that home that we know we have ahead of us out of a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Do good things. Be honorable even in the midst of persecution, so that they may in time, we hope, they would see and respond. Though they might call it evil initially, but listen, if you're honoring God, at some point they're going to recognize that it was good and that it was glorifying to God. They may not recognize it on this side of this life, but on the other side, someday they will come to recognize. And then, of course, Peter's hope is that you would draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ by your actions. Verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. This is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the emperor. Lim, would you ask a blessing on our sermon this morning? First of all, remember where your home is. This is not it. And live honorably. And then he gives us an example of one of the ways that we can live honorably before God and before man. Respect authorities. You're not home yet. Again, Peter calls those individuals that he's writing to sojourners and exiles. Now, some of them may actually have been exiled from their homes. We read of persecution right there in Acts, a time when because of the persecution, people were leaving Jerusalem. They were heading out, possibly living in areas where that was absolutely foreign to them. So there may be two parts to this. Maybe in some ways they were actually in an area that was foreign to them, not necessarily their homeland. But if you understand, if you read the whole letter, the gist of what he's saying is, you're not yet home. You have a home in heaven that is waiting for you. Peter experienced the crucifixion of Jesus. He saw persecution at its height. He personally had been jailed a couple of times for his faith. He could attest to Stephen being stoned because of his faith, and one of his close ministry partners being killed by the sword, James, the brother of John. Yet Peter also witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ and heard him share these words. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You see, Peter is pushing them to think about this hope, this reality that everything, as the way they are right now, is not necessarily the way everything is going to be. Don't expect to be treated as if you are home when you are not yet quite home. Paul, another follower of Jesus who was no stranger to mistreatment for his faith, shared these words. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. I think the King James Version says all most miserable. To me, that seems like words that really touch my emotion. We are all most miserable. If in this life, and you think about it, as Christians, we realize not everything is geared towards us. We might say that we live in a country that at some point, in some ways, is supporting Christianity, but is it true everywhere at all times? Absolutely not. I have read, now again, I can't attest to this as being a biblical truth, But I have read that the Christians have died for, more Christians have died for their faith in the last century than in all the other centuries combined, at least as recorded in history. More Christians have died for their faith. Now, obviously, that's not happening in America, at least not to my experience. And if you know of any, share it with us. Let us know. Let the church know. But there, it is happening in other countries. People are dying for their faith. And Peter say, excuse me, Paul here is saying, in a sense, if it wasn't for our heavenly home that's waiting for us, then why should we choose to live in such a way that sometimes, Jesus even told us, sometimes is not necessarily going to get you what you want in life. He said those of the world are actually wiser than those of the Lord because they make decisions that work within this system, right? If you're willing to not care about anybody else, if all your focus point is just simply getting ahead and stomping and jumping on everyone else, I want to tell you, and I imagine if you live very long, you see there's people who live like that who do excel, who do succeed from the world's perspective. That's not the kind of success that we should be seeking out. And if that's all you're thinking about, if you don't realize your heavenly home, then Paul's saying, listen, you might as well. If you don't accept and understand and believe in a heavenly home, then just live within the world systems. And I'm telling you here this morning, that's not my plan, and I hope and pray it's not yours. We who have put our faith into Jesus Christ have much more to come and many more years to enjoy it. But in the time we have left, while we're in this foreign place, while we are not at our home, he's telling us to live honorably. Jesus, the supreme example for us, though he was treated like a criminal, while he loved them till his death, he was treated like a criminal. But yet he was never seen as struggling with authority, even though he was mistreated so unrighteously. Isaiah, in prophesying of what was going to happen to the Messiah, says of Jesus, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus knew where he had come from and where he was going to. He wasn't concerned about what all was happening in this life. He realized what was important, what was going to happen into the next. And he realized the value of living an honorable life towards God so that others will be drawn to him. And he also, can I say, found peace in the midst of doing the right thing, irregardless of the outcome. In the face of extreme mistreatment, even to death, he did not rail against his accusers. He understood that in due time, we must be patient. God will make things right. He trusted, as Peter mentions later in his letter, in this very letter that we're studying in chapter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Is that always true? And in the moment, no, it's not. Read your Bible. There are many people who've done right, good, wonderful things, and yet they lived harsh lives. In time, it will be made right. Again, this is a matter of faith. This is what we are promised in the Word of God. Those who mistreated Jesus, those who mistreated Peter, those who are mistreating Christians today will someday get their due. Peter, too, as we see him facing persecution for his faith, does not rail against those who are accusing him. He does not come about as someone who's out of control. Let me ask you, what kind of example are you living? No, again, I would say we're not living in any kind of persecution. I want to suggest the thought of us in America, in my experience, in my area, the people that I know, we're not being persecuted. But we may feel as though some things in life aren't going the way we want them to go, especially with those in authority. Let me ask you, are you living honorably? What damage can be done when the people who proclaim themselves to be living for Jesus Christ disobey those in authority? But Peter reminds us, if we honor Jesus by our deeds, listen, it may bring others to God. And that in and of itself is a witness, right? We think about witnessing. We think about sharing about the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to them about the gospel and about the truth that salvation is offered to any and all who would call upon the Lord Jesus Christ's name. That is a witness. But understand, it's also a witness when you accept persecution, when you accept mistreatment, and you do not rail against it as if you're out of control. Remember, this is not your home. We rail against so many things that should be seen as so trivial. Again, we think about what those people were going through, and again, what other Christians may be going through in other countries. Aren't what we rail against of those in authority so trivial? Imagine what it was like to live in the first century under a time of heavy persecution. Again, keep this in mind. When Peter wrote this, he was living in a time when there were governing authorities that were so against Christianity that they were willing to kill people for it. And yet he still says, honor those who are in authority. Respect them. He tells his readers to respect them. To be subject to every human institution. That covers a lot of ground. 1 Peter 2:13. And why did he say this? Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme. And again, this is an emperor. It's believed, historians say, we don't know from a biblical perspective, but we believe that this was the emperor Nero was in charge at that time of Rome, and he was the one who was involved in getting Peter killed. And yet Peter is talking about this very emperor that will eventually take his life. Treat him with respect. Do this for the sake of the Lord. Living honorably before God is respecting those who are in authority. Whether it be a direct supervisor at wherever you work, whether it be the CEO of your business, or whether it be the authorities that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. Someone who pulls you over, or maybe in a restaurant, the authorities that run that business. Right, listen, if you don't agree with what's happening into a certain business, then turn yourself around and leave that business. Don't sit there and make a fool out of yourself and dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ because you're upset about the way they're running their business. Leave that business. I'm ashamed of what so many Christians have done over the last few years, out of dishonor to the Lord Jesus Christ, fighting against authorities. What a shame seeing some young people being mistreated who are simply trying to do the job that they were given responsibility to do. What shameful things have been done over the last few years over a cry of freedom. 1 Peter 2:16 says, yes, he tells us, live as a people who are free, but not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Yes, we've been set free. Our soul has been set free. We have been promised an eternal home in heaven. Ultimately, everything you see is our Father's, but listen, it's not yet. We are not yet quite the time for us to take possession. Peter tells them so clearly, it's the will of God that you honor those in authority. God is supporting those who are bringing punishment upon those who disobey. Is there a time and a place to disobey? I imagine each of you are right there thinking that. You probably even have an incident in your mind. You're thinking, oh, he wasn't with me. I'm telling you, this is not how you'd respond. Peter wouldn't even respond in that way. I will tell you this. When it comes to being disobedient, first of all, you better be bathing in prayer. I don't care if it's in your own home, if it's in your business, or if it's dealing with the government, you better be bathing it in prayer. If you truly want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, bathe it in prayer. Is this honorable? Is this right? Is this good? Will this bring about value to the kingdom of God? If not, then the answer is probably going to be, just do what you're told. Secondly, I think I can say safely, it ought to be rare. It ought to be extremely rare that we fight against the authorities based on what the Word of God says. Listen, I'm not talking about being beat upon, staying in a marriage when you're physically beat up, or talking about someone who's beating you up at work, or whether it's emotionally or mistreatment. And that's not to say that we don't ever go to authorities and try to get redress of those issues, right? If I'm pulled over out here and some police officer mistreats me, it's not unchristian for me to take what's right at the time. I'm going to respect the individual, but when the time is right, to go and write a letter and say, hey, I disagree with how I was treated. Attempt to redress it through the proper authorities. I'm not saying that we never should speak. And again, we live in a country where we can vote, right? We have a right to vote, and we have a right to speak. But once those laws are in place and when those positions are in authority, we ought to be giving them a mighty respect. I'm telling you that that's what Peter said to the Christians of his day in a time when Christians were being killed. Let me ask you, how should we be responsive to this? Now, you and I may disagree with something those in authority decide, and I'm sure we could list them off right now. Some things that we feel like are being done unchristian, but does that make us a right to fight against those authority and to be disrespectful? I want to tell you, I think the Bible says no. Should we be surprised when we live in a country that's being controlled, supposedly? Again, we can discuss back and forth where the true power is in this world, or in this country in particular. But ultimately, do we really expect, if many, many people are involved in making decisions, that everything is going to be decided in such a way that honors the Lord Jesus Christ? Sadly, to me, it's frustrating to go back and look in the history of the church as a Jewish nation. When you think of all people who would choose to honor God, quite often, when the majority of people were making the decisions, those decisions quite often were dishonorable for God. Yet that doesn't mean that you and I need to be dishonorable in the way that we respond to those rules and those regulations. If you do choose to fight against authority, just keep in mind, if it is God's will, you're fighting Him. And if it is not God's will, does He really need you to fix that? How big is your God? Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Honor God by respecting the authorities in your life. Will it guarantee you'll have peace? No, it will not. Peter died for his faith while respecting authorities. But will it put you in the best position to bring peace in your life? Absolutely, yes. Will it put you in the best position to bring the best peace for Christians? Absolutely. Yes, it will. It puts you in that best position. And will it put you in the best position to honor the Lord you claim? Absolutely. Absolutely. It honors the God you proclaim as yours to respect those in authority. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for looking down upon us this morning, for being with us as we studied your word. We ask you to help each of us to respond and to consider what was read this morning. Help us to understand how we can honor you with our lives. If there are things that we disagree about this sermon, Lord, I ask you to help us. Help us to look to you and seek direction. Lord, I recognize that as the pastor of this church, I'm not perfect. I'm just a man attempting to try to share your words, Lord. Speak to these individuals through your Spirit. We thank and we praise in Jesus' name. If you feel, Lord, speaking to you in any way about anything that's going on in your life, or maybe you have a concern for somebody else and you want to pray, I want to encourage you. The altar is open. What page are we, Kelsey? Do you know? I need to look that up. Let's all stand and sing page 378, I Surrender All, and it'll also be on the screen.